Prepare and positioning. This section is designed to empower you with a step-by-step roadmap that you can follow to prepare and position yourself for the best possible outcome. Obviously, this includes your financial settlement, but it also helps you to focus on what matters most to you and overcome feelings of overwhelm and anxiety because you're taking tangible steps to position yourself for optimum results. In a best-case scenario, you're getting this information before someone files for a divorce, but if you're already in the midst of a divorce, the majority of this info will still be valuable and very usable to you. Ignorance and apathy are not your friends. The smartest thing you can do is to learn how divorce works and then prepare for it. You can be prepared or be a victim. Congratulations on investing in yourself and your future. Honestly assess your circumstances. Beginning with, make sure your marriage is over before you file. If your spouse wants a divorce and you don't, there's really little you can do to stop them, and conversely, you might be the one filing for a divorce, and if that's the case, you feel, obviously, that you have compelling reasons for doing that. But regardless of who's initiating the divorce, we'd encourage you to try every viable option to save your marriage, if you haven't already. Divorce isn't the easy way out that it appears to be. It's a life-changing decision that shouldn't be taken lightly no matter what. And additionally, you may be able to save a marriage that you think is beyond repair with the right kind of help. One of our clients was married to a spouse that was very difficult to live with. In fact, some of her thinking and behaviors led us to believe that she probably suffered from a personality disorder of some kind. He tried everything he could think of to please, pacify, and de-escalate her angry and destructive outbursts and fits, but to no avail. We worked with him to begin setting some healthy boundaries and expectations with his spouse. We also helped him to formulate strategic discussions with her that would compel her to evaluate her dysfunction and the destruction it was causing in their marriage, as well as the potential loss of that relationship if she continued to refuse getting professional help. We also recommended he see a counselor as he worked through this process to gain additional knowledge and tools to deal with this situation. I mean, he was way over his head in this. Our client was a kind, intelligent, caring individual. He was also a well-known, successful professional. But none of us has all the answers to life, and a pastor recommended that he reach out to us for help. The good news is that in this case, his wife recognized her need for help, and that the consequences of not getting help from a medical and mental health professional would lead to greater pain than the pain of admitting that she needed professional help. You'd be amazed how many people are unable to get past that. They don't want that stigma. They don't even want to think about that for themselves. That was over a decade ago, and to the best of our knowledge, he and his wife are still married and doing well. Assess the risk to the relationship with your children. So what type of a relationship do you have with each of your children, if you have children? Do you anticipate your spouse attempting to harm that relationship? Is there anything that you could do now to enhance and strengthen the relationship? Finances. We have an entire section on finances, but the starting point is to know where you stand financially and how a divorce is likely to affect your financial position moving forward. Also, confirm all account balances and liabilities. During this process, one of our clients found out that her husband had taken a mortgage out on their cottage in his name only without her knowledge. This was especially important because she ended up with that asset as part of their settlement. And her husband didn't disclose the loan in his interrogatories. Without this knowledge, it would have been valued at its full market price without deducting the mortgage liability from its value, which would have made over $100,000 difference to her portion of the property settlement. Relationships with family and friends. What's the expected effect on relationships that matter the most to you? Be realistic in your expectations. So, spouse, children, extended family, friends. And why taking steps to minimize the negative impact on those relationships is so important. Place of worship, clubs, organizations, etc. So, will you still want to attend functions and stay connected with those resources, even when you guys are divorced? Effects on business or employment. are there potential repercussions to your business or job? As an example, your spouse may be involved in your business, or you may work for one of their relatives. A divorce could dramatically change components for either case. Educate yourself about the system. Attorneys have a financial incentive for your legal fees to be higher. We go into great detail in the Managing Your Attorney section, but some of those highlights are: always remember your attorney works for you. Make sure you know what your attorney's doing and why. Don't call your attorney to vent. Discuss every motion before filing. And don't let your attorney isolate you from your spouse unless there's some type of abuse or intimidation going on. The family court system is designed to promote litigation. I know it's mind-blowing. You'll understand more as we get into this. We go into detail in the family court section, but some of the highlights are: the court has a financial incentive to divide families under Title 4D of the Social Security Act. Attorneys have a financial incentive to promote litigation. We talked about that a moment ago. And it's adversarial in nature. Court procedures and tactics are actually designed to create conflict and distrust between spouses. Judge has absolute power regardless of what's best for your children if you have them. We go into detail in the family court section, but some examples are personal protection orders, elimination or severe restriction of parenting time, child custody, court-ordered psychological evaluations, and contempt of court power. Decide if alternative resolution is even viable for you. This is an overview list. We cover this in detail in the Educating Yourself section, whether you want to use direct negotiation, collaborative law, arbitration, mediation, full trial litigation. They all have pros and cons, again, which we cover in depth in the Educating Yourself. Advantages. There are some advantages to filing first if that's what you choose to do and you have the ability to do. You choose the timing. This could be important for a variety of reasons: maturity of investments, a pending inheritance or other transactions, tax liability implications, employment, child considerations, and giving you time to prepare. You can begin the proceedings at a time when you're financially prepared and best positioned to do so. You'd have time to collect copies of important legal docs, such as deeds, bank and investment accounts, statements, wills, life insurance policies, social security cards, titles to property, etc. You're going to need all those papers as part of the property division process anyway, and it might be more difficult to obtain copies after the divorce starts if you're dealing with a difficult spouse. Also, you can assess the family finances and determine the extent of the assets and debts to have a more accurate idea of what will be divided in the property division. You also have the advantage of filing after ensuring you have access to money and credit to meet your needs during the divorce process. This may include obtaining another line of credit or possibly lining up financial assistance from friends or family or liquidating an asset to give you the money that you'll need for your attorney. Request a standing order. A standing order ensures status quo. And status quo, it prevents either spouse from making changes to beneficiaries on policies like life insurance or retirement accounts, or selling, borrowing against, or transferring property, changing bank accounts, making large purchases, or other financial moves. This can be especially important if the spouse filing for the divorce suspects that the other spouse will attempt to hide assets. Another important aspect to consider about status quo is that whomever's handling the finances at the time of filing will continue to do so. Also, it can greatly affect your parenting assets and schedule if one of you is living somewhere else besides the family home when the filing occurs. These are really important factors if you have children. Choose the jurisdiction if applicable. So in situations where spouses have lived apart from each other for a substantial period of time, possibly even a great distance from each other, filing first can prevent having to conduct matters related to the divorce far away from where you live. It also gives you the advantage of choosing a highly connected local attorney that's familiar with your judge. And this strategy is covered in depth in the hiring attorney section. Plaintiff gets to present their side first. If it comes to a full court hearing, which you hope it doesn't, Being the first side heard has the effect of the respondent or defendant having to defend or prove something instead of the other way around. Research your financial, emotional, and child care support. So, financial. Liquidate an asset for cash reserves, for legal expenses, and new housing. Once you get an idea of how much a divorce will cost you, you can explore your options. Family or friends might be able to help with legal or housing expenses during and after the divorce. Many people have family or friends that are willing to support them in some way through this expensive process. Emotional. Getting a counselor for yourself. We get into this in-depth in the taking care of yourself section and getting a counselor for your children. So this applies to before the divorce, during and after for both you and your children. And again, we cover that in-depth in the taking care of yourself section. Child care, you can check into programs and prices in the area that you anticipate living in. So hours of availability, pricing, and even finding out from an attorney who's likely to pay for that or is it split. Friends and family. Oftentimes, friends and family can and will help you with child care. But be sure to get an estimate of how long you might be able to count on that help. Is it days, weeks, months? It would be important for you to know to plan for the future. Child custody. Decide what type of custody you want. We cover this in detail in the Educate Yourself section. Examples would be joint legal or sole legal. Develop a shared parenting schedule. Keep in mind, no one gets everything they want, and things will never be the same. That's the sad reality. You're making the best of a life-changing situation. We've provided you with a worksheet to help you through that process, though, in the parenting section. A court-ordered custody evaluation. In the case of a contested divorce with children, there will be an evaluation order. A custody evaluator will interview you, your children, and your spouse. They're all supposed to recommend what they assess as the custody arrangement that's in the best interest of the children. And judges usually rely heavily on their recommendations. Things, suggested guidelines when you're going through an evaluation, things that you should do. And most of these are pretty common sense. Be punctual, dress appropriately. So be neat and clean in appearance, obviously. But don't wear anything too revealing or something that makes a political or cultural statement that an interviewer might be offended by. You have no idea who's coming into your home to interview you, what their belief system is. But they have a lot of power for you and your children. So just be as neutral as possible regarding those things. Be honest and cooperative, but don't overshare. They're not a friend. They're not a counselor. Give them enough information, but don't talk endlessly and give them anything that might be used against you or to judge you. Don't bring up any controversial topics that might cause them to judge you in a negative way. Never assume they're your friend by job definition. They are there to judge you and your fitness as a parent. Ask for clarification if you need to before you answer a question. And if you provide them with names of people to contact to support your statements about you or your spouse, let those people know before the evaluator contacts them. And it's okay to be nervous or show emotion during the interview and acknowledge that to the interviewer. It's a stressful process. Everybody knows it. Show genuine concern for the well-being of your children above all else. Don't vent about how inconvenient this divorce and new parenting arrangement thing is going to be on you. This is about your children, and that's what they want to see and hear. Make your children a priority as needed during the interview, as you normally would. If one of them asks for a glass of water or needs help in some way, deal with it as you normally would without letting them hijack the interview, of course, to the best of your ability. These are things not to do. Don't speak badly about your spouse or partner unless appropriate to the question being asked or if abuse is involved. Don't coach your children to say negative things about the other parent. Don't interrupt or dominate the interviewer. Don't quote-unquote stalk the evaluator until the report's completed. A lot of people drop the ball in that area. They're wondering what they what the outcome has been, what the recommendation is going to be, and they're nervous and they want to know, and so they'll make calls or send emails. You do not want to do that. Other things to consider, know what you value, and that may sound funny at first, but understand that most things will likely be split 50-50, but beyond the obvious, what's most important to you? Is it a specific asset, the type of custody of your children, sentimental items, preserving family and friend relationships? Decide, and then keep your eyes on the goal as you develop your strategy and work through the negotiations and compromises, because there will be a lot of those. Keeping the house may not be as important to you as you think. Many divorcing people want to keep their house for the sake of the kids, but keeping the house only makes sense if you can afford it. If you can't buy your spouse out, refinance, or afford the payments on your own, then keeping the house could be a disaster. Your kids will be much better off living in a new place with a parent who's not totally stressed out all the time about money, and especially if you were to end up losing the house to foreclosure anyway. You do not want to put yourself or them through that. Set aside and protect sentimental or premarital assets. This is a really interesting topic, and most people don't think about this because they aren't the type of person to take advantage of this situation, but doesn't mean your spouse won't be. So you set these things aside so they don't disappear, get destroyed, or used as leverage against you. There are some things money can't buy, like pictures of your great-grandparents or jewelry or family heirlooms. And while you may want to believe that your spouse would never purposely damage, destroy, or hide things that are important to you, divorce often brings out the worst in people. Early in their divorce, one of our clients had her husband take an heirloom antique set tea set from the house. It had really very little financial value, but he knew it had great sentimental value to her. He attempted to use that set as a bargaining chip during their negotiations. Now, our client refused to let him control her with that set, but she was never able to get it back from him. Many a controlling spouse has resorted to petty blackmail to achieve their goal of dominance against their unsuspecting spouse. So if you're married to a difficult spouse, you're far better off securing anything that has emotional or tangible value to you. Hopefully this will allow you to negotiate with less conflict because you've taken away their ability to blackmail you if they would have done so. You should always disclose what you've secured to your spouse or on your interrogatories if things go that far. The goal here is not to deceive or steal, it's to keep the item safe. Track spouse's money, bank account, brokerage, cash, crypto, storage unit, offshore holdings, precious metals, business assets, credit card, and other debts. This is our all-time favorite story about one of our clients. This woman knew her spouse was having an affair. She also suspected he was diverting and hiding money, but since it was mostly liquid cash assets, she couldn't prove it. And then we like to think that God intervened. That's how we see this. Mr. Cool was at the bar with his mistress. He was telling her how smart he was and how dumb his wife was. He told her his wife suspected he was having an affair, but he was so slick she'd never prove it. He also told her where he put the cash that his wife couldn't find. But unbeknownst to him, wait for it, he had inadvertently butt-dialed his wife early in the conversation for her to hear and record the important parts of that conversation. Isn't that awesome? Wow, you can't make this stuff up. Have a paper trail. Gather or copy all important paperwork before filing. So one of our clients owned a business with her husband. Knowing her husband was having an affair and he couldn't be trusted, we recommended that she go to their office and make copies of all the important paperwork before filing for her divorce. Among other things, she found a bank account and a couple commercial properties she was unaware of. Because of the large amount of assets involved and the discovery of duplicity by her husband, we recommended getting a foreign forensic accountant involved. This is how that played out. She had a copy of a commercial property her husband didn't show in his interrogatories. He was later forced to disclose that asset because his wife had proof of its existence. According to him, he just forgot to include it. Additionally, they owned a valuable property that was being leased by a national chain retailer. According to her husband, the tenant was not going to renew the lease that was quickly coming to an end, and he said he was willing to take that property as part of his share of the settlement so she wouldn't have to worry about finding another tenant. The forensic accountant ended up finding out that the current tenant had in fact already signed a contract for an additional 10-year lease. So aside from the value of the property itself, which everyone knew about, the value of that lease over 10 years was well over $1.5 million that her husband didn't intend to disclose. Gather evidence before filing. Emails, texts, voicemails, recordings, pics if it applies. Depending upon the level of volatility of your spouse, this step can be crucial when needing to validate your assertions of abuse or threats being made. It can also be an important tool for friends and family and professionals. Take pictures of assets you don't want removed from the house. Plan living arrangements during and after the divorce process. Will you both stay in the same place after the divorce? Are there any legal liabilities for not doing so? How can you budget properly if you don't know where you live, at least the area, in terms of renting or purchase prices? Make big or needed purchases before filing. It just makes sense. Your earning power will likely decrease if you're both earning an income. Your credit score will likely drop. So you'll qualify for a larger amount and at better terms if you do this before instead of after the divorce. Get job training or update your education before filing. This could be a very important part of your plan. Be realistic and take steps to increase your income potential and marketability before your divorce. Be mindful of the date when initiating divorce. So think about things like investment maturity, inheritance, tax liabilities, debt reduction, etc. Run your credit report. Know your credit scores from each reporting agency. There are three: Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. This will let you know if you're listed as an obligor or on your spouse's debts, or you're obligated to pay debts you never even knew existed. Interview an attorney. We cover this in depth in the hiring attorney section, and we also include an interview document with all the pertinent questions you would want to ask them. Potential costs. Get an estimated outcome, attorney, retainer, and total fees. So the asset split, spousal support, child support, custody, approximate time to completion, as well as the actual cost in legal fees for the divorce itself. Set reasonable goals for settlement. Don't be foolish. Don't be hard-headed. Nobody gets everything they want, so don't go into it thinking you will or pretending you will. You won't. You'll just be disappointed. So be as reasonable as possible. Count on roughly a 50-50 split, except for circumstances that would be outside of the normal split. Settle as much as possible without an attorney or court. Exceptions to this are covered in detail in the keeping costs down section, but mostly it's if things are volatile, if you're being abused, or if you're being intimidated, then you're going to need additional help. Voluntarily gather and exchange information about income, assets, debt, bank accounts, 401ks, etc. Get appraisals and value household items, so jewelry, collectibles, real estate, furniture, etc. Use professionals when necessary. You can check on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, specialty dealers, or other resources when you're trying to get an idea of the value of something that isn't brand new. Reach an agreement on personal property items. There's really very few individual things worth fighting for as long as the overall settlement is equitable. Is it worth spending $1,000 in attorney fees to maintain possession of a $500 object? Obviously not. We have a divorce checklist that we will provide you to help manage this process. A document checklist that we provide for you, examples, you know, banking docs, mortgage docs, W-2s, other tax information, and so on. Budget worksheets for current and new, so your current budget, what it is now, and what it will be coming out on the other side of this divorce, as best you can estimate. Choose new life insurance beneficiaries. Choose them now, and then implement them immediately after the divorce. That can fall through the cracks pretty easily with all the emotional trauma and expense and stress and all those things. So that's something you definitely want to make sure you take care of. Establish a plan for each phase of the divorce process. So after educating yourself with all the material in this program, develop a step-by-step plan to accomplish your goals pre, mid, and post, if that applies. For some of you, it'll be mid and post. Privacy. These are practical action steps for during and after the divorce, and some could be before as well. But it's going to depend really on your relationship with your ex and how they conduct themselves and if they're difficult or if they're rational and sane and you're trying to have an amicable divorce as much as that's possible. So change passwords and security codes, house access, garage access, computer login, email, phone screen lock, all social media accounts, and then use a password you've never used before and that your spouse couldn't easily guess. We had a client that changed the security codes on her house, including security questions and answers for verification purposes. She came home one day to find that someone had gotten into the house and taken some documentation that was damaging to her husband. It turns out he had called the security company and sweet-talked somebody into helping him after he supposedly locked himself out of the house. He said his wife had recently changed her information, but that info was on a document inside the house. Believe it or not, they let him in. Notify car security of the change in marital status. During the middle of her divorce, one of our clients was asked by her spouse why she was in a certain area that day. She said, "How do you even know I was there? Are you following me?" Being a narcissist that was far superior to her in his own mind, he volunteered that he simply used OnStar to track her movements in their car. He was, of course, shocked and angry when his greatly inferior wife had OnStar put the account in her name only, denying him access since the vehicle was designated as her possession from the property agreement. Turn off GPS tracking on all devices if that's necessary. Change locks and keys, doors, garage in your current residence, cottage, locks on any assets like boats, RV, etc. Storage unit access. So either change your storage unit or at least the access code and locks that go with it. Get a P.O. box. If you're concerned about your spouse intercepting or seeing mail that's personal to you, get a P.O. box. Open a new bank account. Be sure to use, and this is an important distinction, an entirely different bank than where you and your husband currently bank at. We had a client that opened a new separate account in their name only at the same bank they jointly banked with their spouse for years. Shortly thereafter, they received a large check into that separate account. Their spouse called the bank manager and said there had been a mistake. That check should have been deposited into the joint account. So the manager believed them and made the transfer. The spouse emptied that account the same day. This is one of those times truth is stranger than fiction. Request new credit cards on any accounts in your name, but your spouse might be a signer on as well. Open a new email account. Spouse may be able to get the new password if they know the old account. Change your phone number if needed. Many of these strategies can be implemented without your spouse, but some of them will require their cooperation. Preparing and positioning yourself properly will give you the best chance of achieving your goals of reducing costs, conflict, and risk, and ending up with a fair settlement. So do your best to come to a preliminary agreement on everything, but don't finalize anything until you consult an attorney. And be sure to have the attorney create and submit all the paperwork to make sure everything's done correctly. Even if you don't agree on everything before involving the attorneys, you should still be able to come close and finish your agreement with their help. If you're dealing with a difficult spouse, just count everything you're able to work through without attorneys as a success. Let's move on to our next section.